Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, this is BJ. Thanks for listening to our show's podcast. If you're a fan of all things geeky, you should check out my other podcast, BJ Shea's Geek Nation. We have new episodes every day, and you can check it out at bjgeeknation.com.
Your wages are being garnished. We can stop that now. It's hard enough to pay your bills when things are good, let alone when a big chunk of your take-home pay is gone before you even get your check. I'm bankruptcy attorney Travis Gagné, and I can stop the garnishment and get the creditors off your back immediately, often the same day as our consultation. Both Chapter 7 and 13 provide bankruptcy relief, but choosing the right chapter is crucial. In a free consultation, we can create a plan to get your finances back under your control. The chapter you choose sets the tone for the next chapter of your life. Please contact me today at ChooseTheRightChapter.com. That's ChooseTheRightChapter.com.
99.9 KISW, the Rock of Seattle. It's a loud and local band of the week. This week, it's Head Honcho. Local band of the week, Head Honcho. You want to find out how you can get their music?
We have three EPs out right now, so check them out, and hopefully we'll have more music coming from them once we get past all this craziness.
And if you like local music, you're going to like Sunday nights here at The Rock. 8 o'clock, it's Loud and Local. Two solid hours of great bands from the Pacific Northwest. Bands like Head Honcho.
Everyone.
Oh.
Happy National Donut Day.
Thank you.
Happy Sugar Rush.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Thank you, Top Pot, for the Sugar Rush.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I went pink.
What?
I got the pink frosted one.
Oh, man. I had the Oreo cookie one. I had a half of that one, so everyone else could try one as well.
Oh, what a good guy.
Yeah. I'm probably going to eat the rest of it.
No, you're not.
Oh, what?
Well, damn. It's already gone.
Sorry, buddy. Well, in that case, let's get to our contestant today. We got Cody and Monroe to take on Steve. Cody, are you there?
Good morning.
Good morning. What's he playing for today, Steve?
A prize to be named later once we get past the COVID stuff.
All right, man. Get out of here. For those playing at home, Cody will have 60 seconds to answer 10 questions. Cody, you can pass all you want, but you will only get three guesses per question. Are you ready?
Sure am.
What year in the early 70s did the Rolling Stones release their album titled Sticky Fingers?
71, 72, 73.
71, yes. Elvis Presley died of what?
Choked on a sandwich.
No.
Heart attack.
Yes. Who played the role of David Dunn in the movie Unbreakable?
Pass.
How many seasons did Full House have?
13.
No.
12.
No.
11.
No. ME is the postal abbreviation for which state?
Massachusetts.
No.
Michigan.
No.
Maryland.
No. Oh. In the Powerpuff Girls, what color eyes does Buttercup have?
Wow. Green, blue.
Green, yes. Okay. What is the a hairstyle with two ponytails, one on each side of the head, called?
Pass.
Belinda Carlisle had the hit song Heaven is a Place Where?
On Earth.
Yes. A prune is what kind of dried fruit?
Plum.
Yes. What villainous role did Jim Carrey play in Batman Forever?
The Riddler.
Yeah. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Correct.
I got to give Cody props because he knew about the Riddler and he knew about Belinda Carlisle and the Go-Go's. He's a man after my own heart.
That song is really good. I was listening to it yesterday for some random reason.
I don't think I have that. Like, I have a couple of Go-Go's tunes in my collection,
really?
But I don't think I have that
one. Oh, yeah. You should put that on your YouTube premium and do that, man.
It's really good.
Plus, the video's great.
I'm telling you, I love the Go-Go's. They are, I mean, the Oh, sorry. Oh,
man, be quiet about stuff.
I'm an
Don't
idiot.
Give Steve any bonuses here.
You're right.
Your sugar rush is getting to your head there.
He's going
to
get that one. Come
yeah,
on.
He probably will.
Idiot. Steve,
well,
right?
He is.
Yes! Yes! Yes!
What year in the early 70s did the Rolling Stones release their album titled Sticky Fingers?
71.
But yes, Elvis Presley died of what?
Peanut butter and banana sandwich.
No.
Heart attack?
Yes. Who played the role of David Dunn in the movie Unbreakable?
Ooh, I'm going to go Bruce Willis.
Yes.
Good call.
How many seasons did Full House have?
6.
No.
9.
No.
8.
Yes. ME is the postal abbreviation for what state?
Maine.
Yes. In the Powerpuff Girls, what color eyes does Buttercup have?
Pink.
No. Brown?
No. Oh. Green.
Yes.
Unbelievable.
What is a hairstyle with two ponytails, one on each side of the head, called? Yes. Belinda Carlisle had the hit song Heaven is a Place Where?
On Earth.
Yes. A prune is what kind of dried fruit?
A plum.
Yes. What villainous role did Jim Carrey play in Batman Forever?
Ooh, the Riddler.
Yes. And Steve, you get a perfect 10. And you win.
Wow.
Sorry about that, Cody.
Damn, Friday feeling right there.
That was almost impressive.
Well,
grab them pigtails.
BG, would you like to issue a retraction and maybe an apology, calling Steve an idiot?
He
got a perfect 10.
There was some luck bombing going on there.
Whatever, man. Just call me Kurt Henning.
There was some luck bombing in there.
Mr. Perfect.
The Full House guest was a luck bomb. The Powerpuff Girls was a luck bomb.
Do not disagree.
No. Yeah.
But
sometimes luck puts you in the perfect category, so congratulations.
What do they say about luck? It's like it's when preparation and opportunity meet.
Oh.
Yes, you got there. Actually, yeah, I've heard that before.
Something along those lines. I'll have to ask Russell Wilson.
Luck is when preparation and opportunity meet, huh?
That's luck, huh?
Yeah.
All right.
I've heard that before.
All right.
I don't know where, but I heard it.
I mean,
when preparation meets opportunity, yes.
Yeah.
Well, good enough. I mean, that's a good paraphrase right there.
Yeah, exactly. Congratulations, Steve. You got that perfect 10.
And congratulations to caller number 10. I don't know why I'm congratulating you, but eventually you're going to find out why, because it'll be a nice prize.
Yes.
But we just don't know exactly what to congratulate you about specifically. 206-421-ROCK. Congratulations to caller number 10. All right, people, we're Americans, and so people ask us questions. And so a lot of folks are saying what they're planning for their first trip once travel restrictions are lifted.
First trip.
Yeah. And I will be that, and I'm number one. I'll give you that clue.
Number one. First trip. Ayahuasca?
Ayahuasca is indeed what I'm going to do when the travel restrictions are lifted. This is where I actually can go somewhere. With ayahuasca, I could actually stay home if I wanted to.
Well, I'm just laughing because I just saw Ron Funches, you know, the comic. We've had him
in the studio. Ron Funches
is super funny. And, you know, obviously with everything that's going on in the world, with the multiple things going on in the world, it's not necessarily a fun time. And he's like, I just got some mushrooms. When is it going to be safe for me to take them? And I was like, that's awesome.
That's a good call.
Because it's not a good time to go on a hallucinogenic trip.
It feels like you're in the middle of one sometimes.
A bad one.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, but this is an actual physical
place. Yeah, if your first trip that you can physically take once travel restrictions are lifted.
See your wife.
Visit family. There you go. That's number one. What do you think number two is? It's not too far away from number one.
See your mistress.
Yes, number two on the list. They go hand in hand when you talk about, they're both F words.
See family, friends.
Hey, here we go. Look at you. He did it.
What about seeing Daniel's Broiler in Bellevue?
Is Daniel's Broiler in Bellevue. Wow, that is number 7 on the list of 6.
That's our first thing we've already talked about. It's like once we can go somewhere, we are handing over little baby Tatum to the in-laws.
Okay.
To have a fun night together with them. And my wife and I are just going to finally have our anniversary dinner date.
Yeah. Though I really think if you're concerned for the safety of your child, you should hand it over to Liam Neeson.
Oh, yeah. Hard pass.
He's really good at taking care of his family.
He's good at getting them back.
Yeah.
But I'd rather not lose her in the first place.
So that's a good call. Daniel's Broiler. It's a beautiful view. Great food.
Yeah. Vegan options.
Oh, that's right, too. So you get to have your steak while she doesn't.
Right. That's our yearly anniversary dinner, and we just weren't able to do it because, she was about ready to have we just had a kid when it happened, and then everything else just went bonkers after that. So
yeah. Oh, that's right. I forgot about that. Yeah, because you got married in December.
Yes.
Yeah, and that's right. And that's when, of course, baby Tatum was rolling
baby
around.
Baby Tatum showed up a week before our anniversary, and it's just... You just don't leave her.
Oh, you don't leave her?
No. We tried, but, it's frowned upon.
She just did not have it. She's like, let me tell you, I'm the product of this anniversary. I deserve to be part of this.
But that's definitely like our first, I guess, I don't know if that's necessarily a trip.
This is a trip, I think, a trip. I mean, if you're out to Bellevue sometimes, it can be like taking a long weekend trip.
If there's traffic.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes to California quicker.
Yeah, you're probably right. I'm not going to say you're wrong about that. All right, so we've got, then number 3 is kind of what you're saying.
Oh, is it?
It's traveling somewhere in the U.S., but not to visit family or friends. So you are doing that.
That's what I want to do.
Yeah, where are you going
to
go?
We want to get one of those vans that they've turned into camper vans.
Those are so cool.
Yeah, and then just road trip, basically do kind of a loop, go down to Yosemite, hit Grand Canyon, and then come back up and go through like Utah and Nevada or whichever way. I don't know.
I feel like a lot of people are going, because Rev, you're not the first person who, actually I know some people that have done that already. They feel like, hey, we will take a road trip, but we'll have this self-enclosed thing.
Yeah, that's so, exactly the reasons why. Because once the national parks open up for camping is where I want to do that, is be able to do that. Because you can camp there, be safe, except for bears. But we got bear spray. We'll be fine.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Our bears wearing masks? Because, I mean, we've tried to get the bears to be socially,
I'm trying to, I'm hoping they do that social distancing. But if they don't, I got the spray.
And if not, you're good at saying the F word.
No!
Yeah.
It really is.
No!
Off. Hey, hey, hey. Hey, Rev, I'm wearing my mask. Did you bring your picnic basket?
That guy's so awesome. All right, so traveling in the U.S., that's number 3. So we got family, friends, traveling to in the U.S. somewhere, but not to see family or friends. Number 4, I don't know if I'll ever do this now.
Ooh.
I don't know if I ever will again.
A ball pit?
A ball pit, yes. Go to a ball pit.
Ooh, go on a cruise.
Ooh, good call, Vicky. That is number 6 on the list. And you know what? I know I'm not going to do that because my wife doesn't want to anyway. And it's not... I was just like, if for some... Here's the thing. When people got stuck on those ships, that's what bothered me. It was like, you can't... Like, they had to stay there until they figured stuff out.
Yeah.
I would totally
do a cruise.
Now, I will tell you this, though. There are board game cruises, so I might make an exception.
See, that's my problem is the cruises I want to do. Wife ski.
Should I want to do those cruises?
Last I checked, is not in for a Chris Jericho rock and wrestling cruise or a Kiss cruise.
Yeah.
Maybe like the 311 cruise. Yeah. I feel like that one I might be able to get her to go to.
Oh, yeah?
Well, her issue is that most of the cruises I want to go to, the ratio of male to female is going to be... 95% dudes, 5% dudes' girlfriends that got forced to go to this cruise for the most part.
Yeah.
So she's like, I don't know if I really want to be just part of a giant sausage fest.
That's a very good point.
Oh, man, they need to have a sausage cruise.
Sausage cruise.
Yeah, it's called the Grunt Cruise.
Yeah. Yeah. And this one here, Danny, this is where Danny would want to go.
Disneyland.
Yeah, go to a theme park.
I'm with you. I would love to do that.
That's the toughest place to go, just because, I mean, man, I guess if they can make it socially distant, but, I mean, that's where my brain goes, there's wall-to-wall people at theme parks.
But it's going to be like, you're going to probably want to go like to like a, when you're a board game convention, it's going to be wall-to-wall people.
See, you're right.
Are you just not going to do that?
That's the thing. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah.
Because, look, Steve, I would be lying if I said that board game conventions aren't where people get sick a lot anyway. I mean, con crud is a real term.
For real, yeah.
Yeah, so I really don't know how I could. I'm the guy that supposedly got to watch out more than anybody else because of my demographic. So I don't know what the people that go to conventions are they going to be the type to really make sure they're fine so that I don't get sick? Well, from what I've seen in the past, no.
I feel like they have to figure that out. I mean, I can't guarantee someone's not going to get sick, but they have to do whatever it's going to take to limit that, whether it be just how they handle sanitary things. Maybe they limit the hours so that people actually have some time to take a shower. You know what I mean? Like, those kind of things are important.
It is amazing. Yeah, it's like they would have to do something, because the joke I have is that we go to Dice Tower West. It's a convention by one of the bigger board game video reviewers. And in the circular, like in the little program they give us to tell us what's happening, they literally say, don't forget, 6 hours sleep, two meals a day, and one shower a day. Like, they literally put it on there. Like, they go, don't forget this rule. We joked about lather, rinse, repeat, teaching people how to wash their hair. You know, why do I have to have a particular statement said to me all the time? Because people don't realize that there are people out there that don't get what you would assume they would just get. And that the proof is in that bloody circular. I read that circular and I'm like, they literally tell people they got to take a shower and sleep and eat at this convention. They actually have to put that in there?
I would imagine one of the things they would probably do is check your temperature. I mean, you know.
That I expect.
Right. I mean, and not just rectally like they used to be, but yeah.
Well, that's a whole different convention. And by the way, I probably will still go to that one.
Dude, like, we went to the baby doctor the other day, and they now, when the minute you walk in, they check your temperature.
Yeah.
I don't know why. But it was, like, no different than when you get pulled over by a cop and you're like, you know, or like, you know, when, like, they give you, like, a, like, you know you're not drunk, but you're like, oh, my gosh, I don't want to look like I'm drunk. Like, something stupid like that. And this, I'm like, I know I'm not sick, but, oh, man, I hope I don't fail this temperature test. Like, I had this weird,
like, oh, yeah, like,
my nerves. Like, I felt, like, anxiety. Like, what if it's, like, 99? What if I had a little sweat going?
Yeah, exactly. I can see
it's
that.
So stupid.
And if you get nervous, does your temperature go up?
Well, clearly not, because I was fine.
Oh, good.
No, it usually does. Just heart rate usually goes up, not temperature.
Yeah. That happens for me with blood pressure. It's like every time they take my blood pressure, they go, your blood pressure's high. And they go, why is that? I go, probably because I'm afraid that my blood pressure's going to be high.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so.
Well, I was like, we had, like, when we were going, before my wife had our kid, and she was going to baby doctors, like one of the ladies that was checking some stuff and checking like the blood pressure would say something that would like stress my wife. I was like, your blood pressure seems kind of high. I'm like, it's only high when you're the person checking her blood pressure. Everyone else that works at this place is very calm. For some reason, you have a very high anxiety attitude, I think.
I know. It's like, how do they not get it? It's like, you're in a profession where you should get this.
Right. She would say something where it's like, oh, you know, sometimes the baby is not doing well at this situation. And I'm like,
wow. Thanks for telling us
like
that.
Like, something random. You know what I mean? But you're just like, I know you mean no harm, and she's just being conversational. But like, when you're having your first child and you've gone 6 years of trying and you finally have, you don't want to hear any bad news.
Yeah, that's bad bedside manner. And also, why couldn't they put a note in the chart to let them know what your history is?
Yeah,
seriously.
Right, so we should just wear shirts that say chill the F out.
Yeah, yes.
Oh, those are cool.
Yeah.
We should put those on the rock shop.
Yeah. Dude, chill the F out.
Chill the F out shirts.
Read my F in chart is one that I want, you know, because I've had that happen too.
That doesn't work as well. Like, at least this works like you go to a store, you can have that, and the message is good for everywhere.
Well, see, I want to sell a lot of shirts.
Okay.
So we have a shirt for every occasion. But chill the F out is definitely a good generic one.
Somebody says they're planning on going camping. They're doing the whole RV thing, going to Idaho, then south to Reno, Vegas, Grand Canyon, skip past Dion's Pizza, and head up the West Coast. That's from Adam.
That sounds great.
All of that is perfect, Adam. And again, you do want to keep yourself healthy, which is why it's really good to social distance, wear a mask, and skip Dion's Pizza. Those are the three things that will prevent the pandemic.
You're right.
Yeah. We got a woman that threw away a bunch of signed Beatles albums. Again, these are signed Beatles albums. She threw them all away because she thought that they summoned the devil.
They do.
I'll tell you about this woman. 717 on The Rock.
BJ and Migs, mornings on The Rock. 99.9 KISW.
99.9 KISW, The Rock of Seattle. It's a pretty cool chat on Reddit where a user asked, quote, what collection did you have as a child that would have been worth a fortune now had your parents not thrown it away?
Ooh. That's awesome. I love these kind of things.
Yeah, one person said, my mom had a collection of signed Beatles records that she threw away after she converted to Christianity. And because of that, she thought, well, you play them backwards, they'll summon the devil or something. And so he thought he was going to inherit these when he grew up, but they were all gone.
You idiot.
Oh, I know. I know. Oh, that's so sad.
I mean, seriously, could you imagine?
Oh, signed Beatles records, man.
What would that go for right now?
Oh, I
feel like you could buy a house with whatever it goes for.
I feel like, I mean, if it's an entire collection, I think people would pay six figures.
I think so
for
long
the whole
as,
collection.
I mean, obviously, if every member of the Beatles is on there, forget about it. But if John Lennon's autograph is on there, or George Harrison too, for that matter, because both of those guys, unfortunately, are no longer around. I couldn't even fathom what they would go for. Watch, it's like a couple $1,000, and we're just completely in our own heads thinking it's like worth so much more than that.
Yeah, I mean, if they were originals, I don't know. I bet they could be worth a bit.
There's one. It looks like there's only two signatures, and it's going for like $1,300.
Oh, I guess we're stupid.
Maybe we are stupid. Maybe it wouldn't be six figures.
Well, okay. Like me, one time I was like, man, I had like the original Voltron action figure set, and it's like these. Although, you know, like Voltron is, like you take them and then put it together and turns into this giant die-cast, like, sized Voltron. And both the I don't know, is it probably like the American version, then I think the Japanese version of Voltron, if I remember correctly.
You had both versions?
Well, one version was like five lions, and then the other one was like multiple little weird things that connected to become a Voltron. I had these things, and I'm like, that must be worth so much money. I go on like eBay, and it's like $40.
Oh.
And I was like, man, I've been like romanticizing about how my parents screwed me by throwing this away. And it's worth not much.
But on the other hand, you can buy it now and relive your childhood.
Great point, Rev. I'm going to get on eBay right
now. Do it. This one guy says, after my mom died, my dad met this very crazy person, and about a month before my high school graduation, we got into a huge fight over something, and she burned my collection of old D&D books and magic cards.
Boo!
Okay, that hits me hard. That hits me hard, man, because some of those magic cards, I mean, if he had alphas, if he had alpha lotuses, oh my God.
That's like $30,000, man.
Yeah, I mean,
at least.
I don't know if he had that, if he was lucky enough to have those, but wow, that's a beating.
It's the lukewarm topic of the day.
So based on this Reddit thread, whether it be by your parents or anyone else, what is something that you once owned that you wished you would have never thrown away? Maybe somebody else threw it away and you wish it wouldn't have happened. 206-421-ROCK. Text us at 77999. What is something that you once owned that you wish would have never been thrown away? Your calls, your texts after Blind Melon on The Rock.
BJ and Migs. Mornings on The Rock. 99.9 KISW.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
99.9 KISW, The Rock of Seattle. Got a Reddit thread, and they're asking, hey man, whether it be by your parents or anyone else, so what is something that you once owned that you wished you would have never, just would never have been thrown away? 206-421-ROCK, Texas at 77999. Justin in Puyallup, you are on The Rock.
Hey, good morning.
What's up?
What's up, buddy?
Not much. So, if you guys are sports fans, this is going to crush you. My great-grandfather collected baseball cards in the early 1900s, passed them on to my grandfather, who then gave them to me, and they were the T206 cards from 1909 through 1911-ish, 1912, still in the cellophane cigarette packages.
Oh, man.
So never opened. So I have no idea which cards were in there, but they were in absolutely mint condition. So I got them on my 18th birthday, set them aside, had them in a box kind of thing, and went off to the military. And when I was about 24 or 25, I went to go collect them from the parents' house. And Dad's wife at the time had seen them and thought they were just like tchotchkes and sold the whole box for $50.
Oh.
And there was probably $20,000 to $35,000 worth of stuff, or more, depending on what cards were in there.
Did they put sticks of gum in those things, I wonder?
No, there was no gum. These were actually tobacco. They were called T206 because they had tobacco in them, and there were 206 cards in the series. So they're
crazy.
Actually,
yeah, they used to put baseball cards basically in cigarette packs.
But, and so tobacco would be inside. I wonder if anyone like recently opened one of those up and said, screw it, let me try and smoke this.
Oh, well. Yeah,
it's, they were so, it's such a collector's dream.
That's insane.
It's a lot of money lost.
Yep. Oh, man. And you know what? This is a sad thing to hear. It's another, like, you know, new parent. It's like not both your parents. It's like the new wife or the new husband. You know what I mean? That's just like not valuing your stuff. Oh, that's a beating. I would not be happy. Oh,
no.
That would be over. It would be over for me and the new wife. I would be done. I'd be, Dad, guess what? This is it. I'm not getting together anymore. This is horrible.
You need to leave her.
Yeah. That burns me. Because I've had stuff like that happen to me in my life, which just brings back bad memories. Let's go to Mike in Covington. Mike, you are on the Rock.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Not too bad. Mike, what you got for us, buddy?
So way back when, I'm 53, but 7-Eleven used to do Marvel comic Slurpee cups.
Oh, I remember those.
Yeah. And every week, they'd come up with a new cup. And so I collected every single one of them. There wasn't one I didn't have. And a couple of them, just all by themselves, are worth a lot. But I had the entire set. And if you go look on eBay, it goes about $2,000 for the set. And
damn.
I have no idea. I have no idea what happened to them. I don't know where they went.
I went off
to college, came home. You know, and I have no idea where they went. I'm sure they went in a garage sale somewhere.
Oh, they
probably did.
Oh, and they're professional garage sailors. And their eyes probably lit up when they saw those bad boys. Just like the $50 box of those old school baseball cards. Man, somebody knew what they were getting. Whoa.
The one that kills me, it's not even something that was thrown away from me. It was something that my grandma threw away that was my dad's that at some point would have eventually been handed down to me when I found out about it. My dad was a drummer as well. And he had a beautiful, like, 60s era, probably made late 50s era Ludwig drum set. Like, that was the drums that he used.
Wow.
And with, like, nice cymbals. I mean, cymbals, whatever. But the kit itself, I can only imagine. Like he said, like, if he knew he was going to have a kid that would play drums, he would have been better at making sure his mom didn't get rid of it. But she got rid of it when he went away to the Army. And when he came back, he's like, where are my drums? And she's like, well, I didn't think you needed them anymore.
Oh.
And he's like, you have got to be kidding me.
Wow.
And so when I hear that, I'm like, man. Because I play, like, that's my love of drums is also my love for Ludwig drums.
Damn.
Like, you know, I have a 70s kit, and it's like, oh, that would have been cool to have my dad's Ludwig kit.
And you know, you're going to do the same thing.
I'm not throwing anything away.
Really, you think?
No, not until she moves out of the house. And then I know for sure she doesn't want it.
You're going to be just like your mother.
Yeah.
Hoarder.
I say this. My wife will throw out all of our stuff.
Oh, yeah. I know. Like, I've done it myself. I know that I've gotten rid of stuff that my kids dug and I didn't realize. I didn't assign value to it. So that's why I can't throw too many stones. Let's go to Scott in Seattle. Scott, you are on the Rock.
Hey, you guys. How's it going?
Not too bad. Scott, what you got for us, buddy?
So I came up with a second one while I was on hold. So my great-great-grandpa used to run one of the very first Krispy Kreme franchises, and my great-grandpa accidentally threw away the original recipe that was written on the napkin. I thought of that since it's National Donut Day.
Wow.
It was that.
I wonder if there's any value to that now that you mention it. I don't know what the value...
At least sentimental and, you know,
exactly.
Fun being able to make the donuts, right?
Yeah, that's
and a fun
point.
Conversation starter if you show it to people.
Exactly.
Oh, I would love that.
It was a happier story because two other people lost out on it, but I actually got the good end of the deal. My buddy was flipping houses and found an old Gibson M3 in the basement, and they only made a few hundred of those, worth a few grand. They only made them from 81 to 82, and then gave it to a friend of mine. The friend didn't play guitar, so he gave it to me, and I ended up scoring this, you know, $3,000 '80s Gibson M3 that's super rare, hard to come by.
Damn.
Because both of them didn't know what they had, so.
Wow. You know, it is amazing. I get it. I mean, it just shows you that people have different values, and that's what I got to remember in life, because it meant nothing to them. And then as it turns out, whoa, $3,000. I just threw $3,000 away. That was great. Appreciate the call, Scott. Thanks, man. I really like that Krispy Kreme napkin.
I was supposed to say, underneath the cedar tree where I grew up as a child, there's a whole collection of Star Wars figures and spaceships that we buried as kids.
Oh, no.
We used to do that, too. It's not like we'd grab, like, a Star Wars action figure or a G.I. Joe one, tie it up to, like, a couple bottle rockets, have it go up in the air.
Oh, I remember that.
And then when it'd come down, we'd take the remains and we'd bury it in the backyard.
Oh, you guys are great.
Well, yeah.
You know, I mean, those are my toys. I want them to know I cared about them while they were still with me.
I can't even imagine all the toys that my dad destroyed when, you know, if we didn't put our toys away, he would step on them intentionally.
Yeah.
And then tell us, hey, you like Godzilla, huh? Here, I'm Godzilla. And he'd, like, break them. Which was probably entertaining and hilarious to him, but as a child, it was very traumatizing.
Oh, yes,
like,
it was.
What are you doing, man? Oh. I told you to put him away. I'm Godzilla now.
Yeah, that...
And yet you still like Godzilla.
Yeah, I know, right? Well, I'm more of a Godzuki kind of guy.
Oh, okay.
He's got Dadzilla is what he's got going
right?
on.
Yeah, no.
You're right, dude. That's a beating when you just go, I am so powerless. That's something I love, and it's getting destroyed.
And he's right. We didn't put him away, and we were kind of being, you know, idiots. We never put him away, but I mean, I didn't think his breaking point would be breaking our toys.
Yeah. I guess. Man. Old school justice.
I see your daughter's in the room.
Oh, I don't know. You're probably going to be part of the
story. I hope about Dad.
I don't think they're worth anything, but I loved mine, so I really wish I still had it. My Furby.
Well, that's
Remember that creepy,
terrifying,
big-eyed purple Furby I had?
Yeah.
I think I got it for like my 8th birthday or something.
Yeah.
And I loved the thing. And I wish I still had it. I don't know what happened to it.
I don't either, Sarah, to be honest with you.
I bet you don't.
Yeah.
Well, we moved a lot, so it's very possible we trash it. Because some of the, you know, kids' toys really get ratchet. I mean,
one?
Yes, it was that one.
Why don't you get her a new one?
Isn't it cute?
Do they sell new ones?
Yeah,
on Amazon.
Hey, you know what you can do? You can get yourself a new one. How about
Will
that?
Will you get me one?
What's the price on this?
Wait, what does it cost?
My half birthday's tomorrow.
Half birthday.
You know, you've got a boyfriend now. I bet he'd love to get you that.
I really don't think that's something he would like me to have in the house. Because it just randomly starts talking.
They're only $150.
Okay. Oh.
All right, well, that's great.
That's not too bad.
Oh, just, no, it's not when someone else is buying it.
I found one for $80, and it's in very good condition.
Woo, $80, Sarah.
Good. It's used, is what you're saying.
Well yeah.
I don't know if I want a used one.
Well, I don't know if they're making them new anymore.
Yeah, they are. They're called Furby Connects, and they connect to an app.
Oh, of course.
Of course.
Oh, but these are like all like high fancy.
That's right. Yeah, I don't need all that.
No, she wants an OG.
Yeah, but if they're cheaper, just get it and just don't connect it.
So then it doesn't talk. It just stares.
That's good. Believe me, the best kind of Furby is one that shuts up.
So it says Furbies are worth a lot of money.
Yeah. We're seeing how many, you know, I don't know how much. I mean, $150 is what you saw there for the one Sarah had.
There's a new thing going on with Furbies, is that they remove the face plates and then add them to basically long fabric snakes. So you make Furby snakes. Whoa. My sister-in-law is making them, and they are terrifying.
Well, let me see.
What the hell?
Oh, yeah. I kind of like that, too. Yeah.
She's got a 3D printer, so she's just printing Furby faces. And so she's just got basically an assembly line of Furby faces that she's attaching long snake body, furry snake bodies to.
Holy crap.
And what are they going? Holy smokes, $250 for these?
Yes.
Yeah, it's a lot of work to put into these.
Well, if you want 6 feet, it's $280. 3 feet, it's $250.
Oh, okay.
I want 3 feet.
And you get three extra feet for $30.
The motion of the Furby as opposed to the size of the Furby, right?
Exactly. Oh, Rev, tell her to hook it up, please.
Maybe I'll just get you a furry instead. Oh. How's that?
Oh, a whole furry?
Yeah.
I mean, all right.
Yeah, see if I can get you a furry. Wow.
What about your son? I see your son's in the room.
Okay.
Joey D's nuts.
I feel more guilty because I know I've thrown a lot of his stuff away.
It's not the Super Nintendo, which was traumatizing.
Okay.
No, it's a comic book I once made when I was 8 years old.
What?
I made it during a rainy week where our recess was canceled in Florida. Me and three of my friends made a 10-page hand-illustrated comic book from scratch.
I have no memory of this.
Oh, I kept it for, I mean, maybe till I was 21. And then one of my big moves, I moved all of my yearbooks and old school stuff into a backpack, but accidentally threw it in a box and it got destroyed and I had to throw it out.
Oh, no.
Yeah, but, dude, it was the coolest thing. And it was one of my favorite memories because it was something very creative that I remember doing as a young kid. Because you don't really have a whole lot of those, like, real fresh memories. And every time I saw that comic book, I remember literally vividly every day of that week because we spent probably 40 hours on it.
What was the comic book about?
It was a team of scientists who lived in a post-apocalyptic world fighting crime.
That sounds really cool.
Yeah, I don't know how he came up with the idea, but there was like radioactive goo and monsters and, oh man, it was awesome.
Yeah, how old were you, you think? Eight?
Seven or eight.
Yeah, that's that pretty awesome. Cool. Yeah.
Because during recess, when you can't go outside and play, you know, in that hot Florida weather, you have to do something. And they would just tell us, oh, draw. And I'm like, with crayons? Like, what am I going to draw? And my friend goes, screw drawing. We're going to make a comic book.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was really cool. I was surprised. Not very creative as a child until that day.
And then look what happens. It gets thrown away.
I didn't do it. He threw it away.
Yeah.
Don't look at me. Apparently I didn't do it.
Oh, dude, when I looked into when I bagged my bag and I saw it and it was covered in like coffee and soda and just ripped in half and I like tried to piece it back together.
It kind of fits the theme of the whole comic book though.
I know. And in my head, I wish I had kept it the way it was because it would have been cool just to see it like that.
Did you ever show me that?
Oh, yeah, you guys all knew about it, yeah.
I don't have any memory of that, Joe. I really don't.
Oh, I remember at one point after
you were probably watching one of your shows and we were annoyed that he even brought it to you.
I'm probably right.
Well, the funny part is
After
we made it, we made copies of it to give to our class.
Yeah.
We, like, printed copies on a copier and gave it to everybody. That was a real hit or miss subject for a lot of people.
Joe, if you really showed that to me, that just goes to show how bad I was from a therapeutic standpoint, because I don't remember that at all, and that seems like a really cool thing that I want to have in my head, and I don't.
Yeah, we used kind of the theme of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, because there was four of us and four of them, so that was kind of what we got inspired
from. So one of the scientists was named Joe?
Yeah. Michelangelo Joe, I believe, is what I called myself.
Michelangelo Joe.
I was seven.
Michelangelo.
Pretty creative for
it's 7 years old, 8 years old. That's not bad.
My other friend was Raphael because he liked to yell a lot of people. I remember this week really vividly.
I think you need to get the boys all back together.
Oh.
Get a few cases of beer.
A reunion?
A little cabin and some crayons and make that crayon and recreate the comic book as adults.
You know, I like this idea, Steve. I have no idea where they are or where they're living now.
I would Facebook them.
I would not be surprised if they are in some sort of creative business, if they're an artist or if they're making video games or whatever. I mean, you know, the stuff like that, when you see stuff like that happen, you go, you know what, I got to keep my eye on this guy because you know that that's not going to be the last artistic thing they do. That's cool. I'm sorry I don't remember it.
I'm not surprised.
Yeah. I wonder if your mom remembers that. I said, I'm going to have to ask her if she remembers your comic book. Damn, that's really cool. That's like right up my alley, too. I'm a horrible father. Well, thanks to the coronavirus, there is someone that is now doing drive-through plastic surgery. Oh, drive-through botched. Great. You're going to hear from 747 on The Rock.
Today's podcast was brought to you by Travis Gagne, bankruptcy attorney. He's here right now and has agreed to answer more of your questions about bankruptcy. Here's another listener question. How do I rebuild my credit after filing bankruptcy?
You rebuild it, you know, one creditor at a time by making your payments on time on your rent or your mortgage, by continuing to make car payments on a car that you keep during your case. You can also, as I said, you can almost always get a credit card almost immediately after filing bankruptcy. Sometimes it's a secured card and it'll almost always have a really high interest rate on it, but you can get a small balance credit card and, you know, charge a tank of gas or a dinner once a month on that and make the payment, pay it off every month, and that'll help you build a credit history one creditor at a time and will help you rebuild your credit over time.
Thanks, Travis. If you have more questions about bankruptcy, you can reach out to Travis anytime at choosetherightchapter.com. That's choosetherightchapter.com. Thanks for listening.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.